We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's going to be a kind of a fun day today. I can see it already. I know Tuesday, normally not my favorite day of the week, but there's a lot to talk about this morning. Oh, a lot to talk about. Braves are back in action, and you got players of the week popping all over town. One guy got paid late last night. All sorts of stuff to talk about. Hugh, what up?
Good morning. It's Tuesday. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a wonderful Monday. It was all right Monday. Monday was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the grand scheme of Mondays, how Mondays go for most folks, Monday was okay. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad Monday.
It's just Mondays, like, especially if you're one of the folks that like to turn up on the weekend and partake in, you know, partying and adult libations.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a little bit of a struggle. It could be a little bit of a struggle coming back to work.
Were you saying the hangover's real?
Oh, yeah, yeah. For some folks, yeah. Yeah, they get it. Yeah. They get in there, man, and they get it. They get it this weekend. They get it. They get after it.
Yeah, I tell you what. How about we got two players of the week.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, how about that? Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, NL Player of the Week and Ezekiel Barco, MLS Player of the Week.
Yeah, that was big, the way he stepped up. And then think about it, John. He wasn't even out there on the pitch. Didn't even start the match.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, then you got a player. That's pretty impressive.
So, again, a lot of things to talk about, and including Acuna and the NL Player of the Week and Barco and the MLS Player of the Week. And then late last night, One particular quarterback. We were on Russ watch late last night.
But not really, because he talking about he gave him the midnight. I don't know about you, John, but I was in the bed at midnight. I was asleep.
Yeah, I was too. And Russ is going to be a Seattle Seahawk for the rest of his life.
And he was tweeting in bed with his wife talking about, I got my deal done already. That was pretty funny. Like, you know, just laying in the bed with your wife and knowing that you're financially secure for, like, the rest of your days. Uh-huh. Between the two of them, yeah, they're doing okay for themselves. Yeah,
I would say
they're
so.
Definitely doing okay.
He got a four-year, $140 million extension, $65 million guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. And he was happy about that. He was going to be in Seattle. He did it the right way, if there's a right way to get your money. I have no problem with what he did. You know, because you look at the first couple of deals that he did, he didn't really break the bank, but this one, he got what he deserved. He's one of the highest – no, he is the highest paid quarterback right now.
Player.
Yeah. And he is a guy that you look at his resume and what he's been able to do for Seattle, it's deserving. It's very deserving. So happy for him. Shout out to Russ, getting paid, getting his bread.
Is it, fall on me to tell you that I think that maybe this is a mistake by Seattle?
To pay your quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
When you pay your quarterback, normally, John, it puts your team in a bad spot. There's no question about that, because when you give one guy all the money, it's hard to spread the money around. But, I mean, that's what you have to do. I mean, most teams that do quarterback-friendly deals are able to still be successful, i.e., the New England Patriots. That's the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's nobody else. It's amazing to me how nobody else has figured out the model yet. You know what I mean? Nobody mm-hmm. has figured right, out right, how right. To master that. But I think what happened was they put themselves in a position where they waited too long to pay him. And he put his foot down and said, listen, you got to give me my money.
Yep, his deadline worked.
Yeah, and then you look at the record they had. What was it? They was 10-6 last year? Not bad. Not bad. So And you can't tell me that what was one defensive player they had out there that you knew of, that you knew by name?
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's not bad.
You know, Earl Thomas.
Yeah, that's about it. And didn't he get hurt?
Yeah, he got hurt.
He got hurt. So, yeah, it's one of those things where he's a good enough quarterback where you could put some pieces around him, some younger pieces, some cheaper pieces, and probably still have success. And then you look at that division. Yeah, see, who are you looking at? The Rams.
And maybe the Niners, too. I mean, maybe. That's what I was kind of thinking. You know, I mean, maybe you just should retool at some point. You know, at some point when you're a franchise, you just got to say, okay, fine, we got to start over here. And
nobody likes to use that word anymore.
I know they don't.
You know. No, we're not retooling. We're not rebuilding. We're just retooling. We're just, you know, we're tweaking. We're tweaking. Nobody likes to use rebuilding.
No, they don't. That is
like the death knell.
So in the NBA, we're talking about some of the headlines this morning. We're going to get into a very busy show. We're going to be asking you, you know, coming up in about 15 minutes, we got our first big question of the day. Which Atlanta athlete is the most important to its team's success? We'll be talking about that. You'll get into this conversation. Also coming up the program, we're going to look ahead to the Falcons and the release of the schedule for the Atlanta Falcons for the year, which could happen as early as today, the weekly schedule. We already know who they're going to play, but we could find out today, tonight, what the weekly schedule is, and we're going to have a lot of people that are going to be on board in the show. Travis Schlenk is going to join the show in the 8 o'clock hour and talk about the Hawks and the NBA. Certainly we'll have Dennis Dodd talking college football, Dave T. Thomas on the NFL draft. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour with Dennis Dodd and Dave T. Thomas, but a loaded Tuesday with lots of headlines in it for your listening pleasure today, because it's going to be a lot of fun on this Tuesday. NBA last night, while you were sleeping, a couple of things happened that were notable. One is, and we'll start with the big headline, the Golden State Warriors blew a 31-point second-half lead. 31-point second-half lead. And lost to the Clippers in the biggest comeback in NBA playoff history. The Clippers scored... Get this in this game, Hugh. The Clippers scored 72 in the second half, 72 points in 19 minutes.
That was amazing. And what was it, Lou? Lou scored like 31 of those points.
Lou Williams.
I was asking Daryl this morning, and he looked at me like I was good and crazy. But I had to ask, man, because Lou has been a well-traveled NBA player, but he's been the most prolific sixth man that I've seen play in a long time.
I agree.
Yeah, he got sixth man of the year a couple years ago.
Wish we'd never gotten rid of him.
Yeah. And I was wondering, I was like, can Lou Williams go to the Hall of Fame for being the best sixth man in the NBA? And Dale looked at me. He didn't look at me like I was too crazy, but he did give me that side eye a little bit. But when you think about the contributions that Lou has made to every team that he's been on.
Every team that he's been on, man.
For him to be that guy, to be that spark off the bench like that, that's pretty impressive. Except for the Lakers, he wasn't that guy with the Lakers so much. He wasn't, because I guess he didn't get the opportunity. What was that press conference when they got? Who was it all they got? And Lou was there, and they were kind of like the side pieces. I forgot who was it. remember that? It was Lou and some other guy.
Well, Lou's got two girlfriends, right? I mean.
Yeah, he went in on that.
Two permanent girlfriends.
Yeah.
He's doing. No, Lou's not losing.
He's not losing in life.
You know, and Lou Williams is so funny because, you know, in a lot of places, you know, Lou Williams might be the star, and he has just adopted this role of being bench
what
guy.
I remember Lou was in Philly. I remember Lou from Philly. And I remember how in Philly he was really not the guy. He kind of came off the bench there, and he was a spark.
Same here.
That's just kind of been his role. He's made a nice little life for himself being that guy. That guy. And last night he was that guy.
Oh, he was that guy. 36 points and 11 assists in that comeback to even the series. And Lou Williams and the Clippers have tied it. And then on top of all of that comes the news that Boogie Cousins. And there is a picture out there that is on the interweb right now of Boogie Cousins walking down the hall, blew his quad out. And there was some concern as to whether or not he tore it or just strained it. But the picture that I saw this morning, TMZ's got the picture if you want to go see it. That thing, I'm not a doctor, but that does not look like no...
I play one on TV, John. Let me look and see.
Yeah, try it.
I'll speculate.
Yeah, TMZ's got the photo.
I have no problem speculating. I'm a radio host. That's what we do.
But, I mean, that picture where they circle it and he's walking down the hall, there's a bulge coming out of his thigh. And that looks like, you know, that's not, it's just like, okay, that doesn't look good. So, I mean, if they're without Boogie Cousins and he's torn his quad, I wonder, I mean, suddenly you're looking at things like, you know, whether or not the Golden State Warriors are in a little bit of trouble early in this series. And everybody remembers said, oh, you know, you guys are fine. Now they've lost home court advantage. They gave up. I don't know how you score 72 points in 19 minutes. That's how is that even humanly possible?
I tell you, you were balling, like against the
raining,
team.
Raining. Yeah. Raining. You didn't miss anything for 19 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, think about that. We're talking about, 27 three-pointers if you were going to do it that way, right? No, 23 and a half. But that's still.
You know, I don't do math, John. Forget what you're talking about.
There'd be 23 and a half. You know, I mean, three-pointers in 19 minutes. I mean, that's just, I mean, that's not what they did. They just, unbelievable that you could score that many points that fast. They're talking about, of course, the NBA playoffs. Also last night, the 76ers put up a 51-point quarter. 51-point quarter.
I mean, what can you had to kind of do that, John, after the situation that they had with the cell phone.
Right.
Because now you make it a non-story. I mean, you had to come out and play like that. That's the first thing that I thought about when I saw that, was that now the cell phone situation becomes a non-story.
So the 76ers did put that behind them and managed to win in a rout over the Brooklyn Nets and even up that series. And they put up 145 points in the game and won by 22. And so everybody in Philadelphia could just relax. Everything's going to be fine in that
series.
That's
the best part about playing basketball, man. It's the best of seven.
But now suddenly it all shifts. The attention shifts to the Golden State Warriors, the presumptive easy favorites in the West, who not only blow this lead, give up 72 points in 19 minutes, blow a 31-point second-half lead, but in addition, may have lost to Boogie Cousins, and there might be another problem with the Warriors because KD and Draymond Green both walked out on the media thing. They just both left. Now, they're both going to get fined $25,000 for doing that, but they didn't even want to talk to the media. Now, of course, to them, to you and me, $25,000 is a
that hurts.
Boatload of money, but to them, they're like, meh, right? They're like, yeah, okay, $25,000. But they're going to get tagged with that fine, that's for sure. The NBA playoffs already got a little bit of drama. We're only two games in.
Yeah, and it's early. It's early right now, and it's a whole lot going on with the NBA.
9 days till the NFL draft. 9 days, 9 days, 9 days. Dave T. Thomas is our draft expert. He'll join us in the 9 o'clock hour later on this morning. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on in the NFL. Next up, very interesting question that Brian came up with this morning. On the heels of Ronald Acuna being named NL Player of the Week, he asked, which Atlanta player is most important to his team's success? Is it Acuna with the Braves, Martinez, Joseph with United? Is it Matt Ryan with the Falcons or Trey Young with the Hawks? We're going to talk about that and let you vote in it. It's going to be our Twitter poll of the day. We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on a very busy Tuesday.
Now, more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's a drive deep left field. You talk about belted way out into the concourse. Holy smokes. We talked about it. You got to pitch him in. But your margin for error is pretty small.
That was that bomb that Acuna hit against the Mets, that 462-foot shot, which may be the first concourse home run in the history of SunTrust Park as part of that comeback against the Mets. And welcome back to the Kia Studios as we talk about some interesting little side tales today, which include the Player of the Week awards going to both Ezekiel Barco for MLS Player of the Week and Ronald Acuna for NL Player of the Week. And it kind of sparked a conversation. It has sparked a poll this morning that we want you to be part of. If you go to our Twitter at 929TheGame, we're asking you, which Atlanta athlete is most important to its team's success? Is it Ronald Acuna Jr.? Is he the most important to the Braves, Hugh? Is it Joseph Martinez in the Golden Boot? Is he most important to his team? Is it Matt Ryan, most important to the Falcons? Is it Trey Young, most important to the Atlanta Hawks? So if you look at those guys, who's the most important guy? The one guy you couldn't really afford to lose.
I would say off the top, Matt Ryan. No question about it. If you lose Matt Ryan, you're a different team. No doubt about it. Different team. No Matt Ryan, it's a wrap.
Trey Young's importance to the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, he is the reason the Hawks have such a bright future, correct?
I would say so. I would say so for the simple fact that you're talking about potentially getting new talent here as far as free agents and things of that nature. I think he's important for that aspect. And he's a little bit of a throwback to me, John. He's a throwback to what point guards used to be. And that's why, because you see in this day and age of basketball right now, and with what Travis Link is trying to build, or I think he's trying to build, he's trying to move the ball around, distribute the ball a lot, get a lot of ball movement, get up and down the court, and he's vital to being able to do that. So I would say, yeah, for him and the Hawks, yes, he is that guy.
All right, let's establish something. So we're asking a question that's out there on Twitter right now, and that is, who's most important to their team success? And I agree with you. I mean, you don't have the quarterback, you don't have a whole lot of nothing, right?
Okay, nah.
I get that. But at the same time, while Matt Ryan might be the obvious answer, you look at what Trae Young means to the Hawks, because the Hawks, I think everybody is under the impression, Hugh, that the Hawks have a pretty bright future. And that pretty bright future starts and ends with the growth of one young point guard. And without him, I don't know what the status of the Hawks is. I think he has meant that much to this team.
Yeah, he's a beast, John. I mean, there's no question about it. He's the guy that when they got him, a lot of people didn't know what to expect from him. And now, with him playing the way that he's played and the way that he ended the season, a lot of people don't know what to expect from him. But it's in a good way. It's in a positive way, because now you look at him and you're wondering, what's the next move for him? The sky's the limit. That's how you're looking at Trae Young now.
Then there's Joseph Martinez, reigning MVP of soccer, and of course, you know, the guy that won the Golden Boot last year. If not for Joseph Martinez, I know he's struggled a little bit and he's missed out on a few goal-scoring chances this year, but if not for Joseph Martinez, Hugh, we wouldn't have a champion in this town.
Yeah, and you know, you could say a lot, but you could also say, John, that from what we've seen this year, that a lot of his success depended on Miguel Almiron for the most part. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't agree with that, but right now when you see it, the way that him and Pitty have not really hooked up yet and how it has been different since Miguel has been gone, and they're going to find that chemistry, you could make an argument that his success hinged a lot on Miguel Almiron putting him in position to be successful.
And then Ronald Acuña Jr. is the final option here. Now, you don't normally think that an individual hitter, the Mike Trout hasn't won any titles with the Angels, but Ronald Acuña Jr. is the most dynamic young player in all of baseball. I mean, and I don't think it's even close.
Mm-hmm.
And what he means to the Braves in their lineup, without Ronald Acuña Jr. last year, the Braves don't sniff the NL East title. He was that important to him.
He's important, but I would probably say that Freddie Freeman is just as important. Freddie Freeman, you know what it is? Freddie Freeman don't get that love. It's because he does what we expect him to do. You know what I mean? It's just like just like that tool or that guy that you look at that he's gonna be there. Like, you expect him to go out and do what he's doing. I think when you look at Ronald Acuña Jr., he's the fresh face of baseball. He's the trend in baseball now, where you got young players stepping up and doing their thing. But I would probably say that Freddie Freeman is the straw.
Which is why this question is interesting to me, because you know, if you're asking the question the way we framed it, which Atlanta athlete is most important to his team's success, then you can certainly see where Matt Ryan might win the poll. He is the quarterback, after all, and he is the most valuable piece. Without him, the Atlanta Falcons have no chance. But if you kind of twist the question around a little bit and say, who's the best, you know, player right now in all of Atlanta sports, and we're talking about an MVP, we're talking about multiple MVPs, actually, if you start to think about it, with guys like Joseph Martinez and Matt Ryan. But if you talk about the importance of the young players, I mean, Ronald Acuña Jr., as great as Joseph is and MVP, as great as Matt Ryan has been and MVP, as great as Trae Young has been and Rookie of the Year and all that kind of stuff, Ronald Acuña Jr. is on another planet, at least in my opinion. His upside, that's
tremendous.
Why we're so lucky. That's why
tremendous.
We're so lucky. Look at the stars we have in town.
Tremendous,
now.
Tremendous. And that's one of the main reasons why people were kind of, you know, in the feelings a little bit by the deal that he signed, was for the simple fact that they felt that he was going to be the next, or could potentially be the first half a billion-dollar guy. But that's where baseball is going right now, John. That's what people are excited about. They're excited about these young players. I think gone are the days, or they're trying to make gone the days, of having to go through arbitration. They're trying to lock these young cats up now so that they won't have to later on give them those huge, crazy deals. And he was one of the guys. You look at him as one of the first guys to sign these deals because they didn't want it to get ridiculously out of hand.
Right. You know, I think to your point, isn't it so interesting? We talked about how you had those big three guys out there, the Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, but mostly those two. We didn't talk so much about Trout. We just talked about the other two.
Yeah, because Trout was still under – technically, he was still under contract.
Right, and we talked about Machado, and there was collusion, and nobody was doing anything, and all of a sudden, you know, the dam broke, and the Padres gave Machado $300 million, which, by the way, so far has worked out, because maybe you haven't noticed, but the San Diego Padres are in first place in the NL West. They've been playing great with Manny Machado, so that's worked out so far. But once those two contracts happened, you know, 300 and then Bryce got 330 and then Trout got 430, it was as though everybody in baseball, Hugh, said, whoa, wait a minute.
It's getting ridiculous.
And the Atlanta Braves kind of figured it out. The Atlanta Braves were the first to move here, and they said, we are going. And what happened with these $300, $330, and $430 million contracts, I think you're onto something, is you effectively killed arbitration, because the White Sox went out and signed a minor leaguer to a $56 million deal and never played the majors.
Yeah.
Minor leaguer,
you're hedging your bets at that point, because right. You're protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, they're throwing money at these guys on the potential. They've almost gotten to in a sense, the way that football does it. Like, when you think about it, the young quarterbacks, if you have a tremendous upside, who's the quarterback for the Rams?
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is about to get paid. And what has happened when Russell Wilson has signed the deal that he signed, Jared Goff has taken his team to the Super Bowl. Still a young player. He's going to get major bank. He's going to get major bank.
I'm still not sold on him.
No, you're not. But that's not the point, though, John. He took his team to the Super Bowl. He was the quarterback of the Super Bowl.
I know.
Now, granted, he didn't do anything spectacular in that game to separate himself, but he took him. He's going to get paid. Baseball is trying to cut this off at the pass by doing this. And, you know, when people say, well, the collusion is a strong word, but think about it. I think it's a little bit of that because of, number one, the way that all of these major names stayed out of baseball as long as they did in the offseason. When they talked about, all we talked about for 2 years running was how much money potentially Bryce Harper was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we talked about. And then when the market came, when it finally got here, nothing really happened. Right away. Now, there was some speculation and rumors that, you know, he could have went back to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, there were no other teams that were really, you know, hot and bothered about trying to get him. So that's what I kind of feel like that's the way that the route that baseball is going.
And this poll this morning that we have on our Twitter at 929 The Game speaks volumes, in my opinion, too. Again, my belief that this town is very fortunate right now, that we are poised for really big things around here in the not-too-distant future. Well, now, and that is, you look at the list of young stars that we have. And so we're asking this morning on our Twitter, given the Player of the Week honors that were just handed out to both Ezequiel Barco and Ronald Acuna Jr., which Atlanta athlete is most important to his team's success? Is it Ronald Acuna Jr. with the Braves, Joseph Martinez with the Atlanta United Five Stripes, Matt Ryan with the Falcons, Trey Young with the Hawks? Which player could the team least afford to lose and then really fall into the doldrums? So, interesting. First question of the day. It's not the only question we have, though, today. We have another big one coming up revolving around the NFL's weekly schedule and who you want to see the Falcons open the season with. We'll get into that coming up at the top of the hour in that discussion. It's all ahead with John and Hugh on this very busy Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for Saturday's Atlanta United match versus Dallas, kickoff at 4, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hit shot, score!
Our Atlanta United.
United are back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I hope you're having a safe drive in on this Tuesday with John and Hugh. Busy, loaded show for you coming up throughout the day, so just leave it here on 92.9 The Game. Going to have a lot of fun. Travis Schlenk going to join us here in about 2 hours, a little under, an hour and a half. We'll talk with him about the NBA. We'll get into a little NBA right here in just a moment. Also want to let you know that 92.9 The Game and Relay for Life need your help. You can play a huge part by helping us raise funds for the American Cancer Society to help cancer patients and survivors all across the country. And I think I don't think there's a family out there that hasn't been touched by cancer in some way or form, and certainly mine was this year. So go to relayforlife.org. That's relayforlife.org/join. relayforlife.org/join. And look for the Game Changers team name. That's our team. Register to join our team at the Relay for Life and be part of our team. It's Friday, May 3rd at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. And we want you to be part of our team at relayforlife.org/join and join our team in the Relay for Life. We mentioned the NBA. Travis Schlenk will be here talking about a lot of things going on in the association right now. And that'll be at 8:20 this morning. But there's news this morning that Zion Williamson, I know this is a shock to you, but yesterday Zion Williamson came out and declared for the NBA draft.
Isn't that the most obvious thing ever? Who didn't know that was coming? I mean, that's one of those things, John's like, duh. And I'm declaring for the draft, duh. We knew that.
Yeah.
Like, tell us something we didn't know.
I didn't know you
actually had to. What's your favorite color?
I didn't know he actually had to declare. I guess he has to declare,
well, yeah,
right?
You have
technically?
To. I think you have to. I you know, everybody kind of assumed it, but, you know, I think you go through and you put your name in the hat or whatever. You tell everybody that you're coming out, and that's it. Yeah.
Where is the best fit for Zion Williamson? Because I'll tell you where the Big Lead wrote a big article and said, you know the team that's the best fit for Zion?
See, I don't look at it like that, because I think that I look at it more so, John, of where could he be more marketable. I would probably say.
Well, that's a given, isn't it?
The Lakers?
Oh, I guess. I hadn't thought about it that way. I think it's the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks or the Lakers. I mean, take your pick. New York or L.A.? I mean, really, because you're talking about 1-2, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're talking about, being able to maximize whatever your contract is, you know. You're going to be able to maximize your dollars in either one of those cities.
Right. And so I look at it this way. The Big Lead says that the best fit for Zion is here.
Atlanta.
Uh-huh. They say that's the best fit for him because.
Oh, you're talking about the young team and the young up-and-comers, right. And, you know, would he be a small forward?
Yeah, he would be. Well, yeah, I mean, he would be
he
a
would
big
be
forward.
A small, he would be. Would he be a forward or a small forward?
Yeah, he'd be like a 3-4 combo guy.
Okay.
But some people said they wanted him to play the 2. I don't see him as a 2 in Atlanta.
Yeah, because we were talking to Clark Kellogg, and he said he played a 2. It's a big 2.
Yeah, he's an awfully big 2.
It's a big 2.
But that, you know, he would be here where you have a fan base that, you know, is dying for another star. He'd be with Trae Young. He'd still be in the South, you know, where he just goes over from Duke to here, and he'd be part of a team that's growing rapidly. If he goes to the Knicks, he's going to be a big star.
Yeah, and he's going to be by himself for the most part.
Right, that's the question, you know. Yeah. Who does he have around him?
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't even think about that, because I'm thinking with the position that the Hawks are going to be in, there's no way that they're going to be able to get him.
Well, you don't know that. Here's what we've got. The Knicks have a 14% chance of getting
the number one overall,
overall pick. So does Cleveland's got a 14% chance. So does Phoenix. They have, all three have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. The Bulls have a 12.5% chance of getting the number one pick. The Hawks have a 10.5% chance. So the top three, because they reworked it. It used to be the number one team got really a lot more ping pong balls, but the numbers 1-2, and then to avoid tanking, the numbers 1, 2, and 3 teams all have the same percentage. That's 14%. And then the Hawks have a 10% chance. I mean, the Hawks are right there. The ball could drop their way.
It could happen, but I tend to, you know, be a little bit more realistic in my thought. And not only that, John, I don't want to get my hopes up so high that when it doesn't happen, I crash and burn. So I kind of like to temper my expectations
me
when
too.
It comes to things like that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, to me, the win.
If it happens, then if the Hawks get
the next morning,
then you already know what it's gonna be. they're already. It would not surprise me on the streets. Now I don't know about it as far as the Hawks organization is concerned, but on the streets, there'll be Zion Williams T-shirts. There'll be Zion Williams like bootleg jerseys. They're all of that. There's no question about that. But like I said, I don't want to get my hopes up too high for something that potentially might not happen. But if it does happen, yeah, I'm all in for that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, the day after the ping pong ball, it would be just bananas in this town.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because that's what everybody would be thinking.
Because, you know, one of the things you would look at is you would see a team on the rise that would immediately capture the hearts and the imagination. If not, the
everybody would come see them.
Oh,
everybody
the attention of the free agents that are out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And not only that, I wonder if that's the case. If, say, you know, because we talk to Trav all the time. Could we get a little bit more specific in our conversation with Travis since we know that he has the number one overall pick? Could we do that? Or could we still have to be kind of like this whole veil of secrecy type deal? Or could we just be like, yo, Trav, you know, when Zion gets here, what number do you think? Can we do that?
Well, I think what you would do, because it's May 14th, the next morning we could get him out and say, have you made a choice of who you're going to take number one?
Yeah,
yes or
yeah,
no?
Just be vague. Just be vague. Can we be, like, we can still be vague but kind of specific at the same time.
Could you tell us maybe he's like a power forward
who are you thinking about?
Tobacco Road area basketball team, that kind of thing.
What number do you think that guy that we haven't said any names that he potentially might wear? Any number he wants.
But, yeah, to me, again, that's, of course, May 14th is when all the ping pong balls drop. But to me, the win in the draft, because I don't want to get my hopes up for the number one pick, the win in the draft is going to be making sure Dallas doesn't go into the top five. And as long as the Hawks get two picks, I'm going to be good with that. Because I'm still on the free agent train. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have $40 million, and you know who I – but that's just me. I have no idea.
Big play Clay.
Yeah, that's who I want, but I have no idea that he would want to come here. He may not. And by the way, Travis might not even like him.
Speaking of that, am I the only one that kind of feels like with yesterday's game against the Clippers and the fact that who was it? KD and who was it? Draymond Green walked out of their press conference.
Right.
Does it feel a little bit
shine off?
No, like the Warriors are falling apart.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that to anybody. It doesn't feel, you mean to tell me a little bit, it doesn't feel like there's some dissension in the ranks with the Warriors, like they're falling apart.
I'm with you a little bit.
Like, think about it though. I'm just saying
they didn't exactly cruise through the year.
No, they have some adversity. It's obvious that KD and Draymond do not really get along. Now, they've probably patched up their differences enough to coexist in the same locker room, but there's still beef. There's some beef there. I think that this could potentially get bad. This could potentially get bad, especially if you let somebody else, if the next game, you let them creep back in and it'd be a tight game. It's going to be some finger pointing. Might be some punches thrown, too.
Well, we have a couple of polls going on this morning. One is which player is most important to his team? Acuna to the Braves, Young to the Hawks, Ryan to the Falcons, Joseph to United. Our second poll revolves around the Falcons, and we're going to discuss that coming up in just a moment. Who do you want the Falcons to play when the weekly schedule comes out? Who do you want the Falcons opener to be against? That's a big question. We're going to talk about it next with John and Hugh because the NFL is set to open to give us the weekly schedule and open it up and let us know who we're playing when. That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.